Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, 186, Diary of an Unintentional Extraordinary Life, 2, Economy Class, read by Mitchell Tu. Somewhere and sometime, a superhero might be only one click away.
I tried to go to a conference this week. Tried is the operative word in that sentence, as I will shortly explain. Admittedly, I've never been to a professional conference before, at least as a fully licensed superhero. But all things being the way they are these days, I don't like straying far from my home territory, at least as I have it defined on the Hero on the Way app. Since joining and successfully completing my first gig, there's been a lot of waiting around for an opportunity to bid on saving the world, or even something more pedestrian like hunting down a stray dog. I guess no one has needed time slowed down, nor has anyone understood the immediate benefit of such. But I've seen lots of opportunities for other superpowers like flying or strength or camouflage or flame-throwing, even energy beams. Apparently, those skills are trending on social media. Time manipulation is not. So, when Mom invited me to attend the WWSHC, the Worldwide Superhero Conference in Mexico City, where she was going to receive a Lifetime Achievement Award, I was excited to note Track 4, Leveraging Social Media to Build Brand Recognition for Your Superpower. Well, I was hooked. Of course, Mom, I'd love to go, I had enthusiastically agreed. Additionally, Mom and I wouldn't be alone. Dad was leading a panel on mitigating collateral damage in villain engagement. Cousin Vortex had a session on responsible weather manipulation in the age of climate change. And Sis, aka Ephemera, harnessing quantum entanglement at the macro level. And me, I got a free general pass. Awesome, right? Mom and her guest, Dad, got to fly on the Hero on the Way, formerly Heroes Inc., hypersonic suborbital shuttle. Cousin Vortex manifested a small hurricane to carry him to Mexico, and Sis simply willed herself there. Me? Well, I'm a little short on cash these days, and had to spend the last of it on an economy ticket on a low-cost airline. Hey, it was an opportunity to network and kickstart my superhero career, so I maxed out my remaining credit and went to one of those online design marketplaces to get a logo, business card, and superhero costume made. I had read on one of the trade blogs that no one at these conferences takes you seriously unless you are well-dressed and have a slick, modern-looking business card and a believable social media profile. I had my new logo, a bold geometric hourglass in an equally bold circle, embossed on the cards and appliqued in day glow reflective yellow for night visibility, onto my onyx spandex, bamboo, and Kevlar tactical action wear form-fitting jumpsuit. The latter may have been a bit of a mistake. I tend to put on a few if I'm not active, which I haven't been lately. I really wanted to set the whole thing off with a yellow cape, but my credit card refused to pay for it. At least I had enough for the two matching custom silk-screened water bottles and matching utility belt. Thus, properly outfitted, I headed to the airport after having to phone and convince my sister to lend me money for the added check-in fee, baggage fee, seat cushion fee. Had I known, I could have brought my own and saved $40. And economy class lavatory access fee. Man, when they say no frills, they really mean it. Finally, I got into the long lineup for security after trying the VIP express lane. They rejected my superhero license. Really, I've saved lives in this country. Okay, only one, and that was my first and so far only gig, and technically it was a cat. It was a good thing I'm an anxious person and got to the airport early. My shoulder ached. My carry-on had all my business cards. Who knew plasticized paper and two full water bottles could weigh so much? I always keep a full water bottle or two with me. I never know when I might need to prime my bladder to trigger my superpower. Guess I should have read the sign beside the entrance to the security check-through area. 100 milliliters of liquid? That's barely a single gulp of water! What were they thinking of? I tried to explain my unique situation to a very surly TSA officer, and was rewarded with a full-body scan and pat-down. Like I've already mentioned, those water bottles had been specially printed to complement my jumpsuit and utility belt.
Bring 'em empty next time,
the irritated woman demanded before throwing them in a bin. Then turned her attention to a passenger who had tried to bring a set of nunchucks through in their carry-on.
But,
the hapless man protested.
They're priceless, one-of-a-kind reproductions from the 2000 Bruce Lee movie Game of Death. You think I'd risk losing them in checked baggage? No way I'd risk that.
I have to admit, they were a nice shade of yellow, just like in the movie. The TSA agent seemed to be considering his argument. Hey, that was my special homemade flavored water. Encouraged, I tried experimentally. I'm very careful about what I put in my body, my water especially, seeing I need it on every gig. I flavor it with hand-grown mint from my organic, balcony-sized herb garden and run the water through a super special filter designed by Dad's former business partner, Hombre de Agua. Now, having apparently dismissed the rare artifact story, the security guard, holding the yellow nunchucks in a blue latex-gloved hand, turned away from the man behind me and scowled. Everyone was staring at me. I was in my superhero suit, after all. I think I look quite striking. As they say, any publicity is better than none. So, I pushed a few business cards into the hands of the people closest to me, then repacked my shoulder bag and tried to disappear into the crowded waiting lounge, where the black spandex helped me blend in to a group of tourists on a yoga tour. It was the first time I appreciated not being able to afford the yellow cape, and thank goodness I had put my rented blaster in my check-in luggage. Being the middle of winter, the plane was packed with Hawaiian shirts, crying babies, and overstuffed carry-ons. So, by the time I got to my seat, 18B, in the rush after first class was boarded, there was no room left in the overhead. It was a good thing security had taken away my water bottles because I was left with wedging my bag under the seat in front of me. I gave the 8-year-old in the seat behind mine the evil eye as I crammed into the middle between a rather rotund lady by the window wearing an almost visible cloud of perfume and a sweaty guy in shorts and a loud, flowered shirt in the aisle seat who struggled to get up to let me by. Next to my row 18 travel companions, I felt like a stick. Both had already colonized the center seat armrest. At that moment, I wished I had brought the sanitizer wipes I had taken out of my carry-on to get a few more business cards in. I am very serious about networking and brand building, so the trade-off had made sense at home. But now? I tucked in my arms and leaned forward so I could fit into the space without touching my randomly assigned new intimate friends. How long was this flight? 5 hours? At least I had my cell with a couple of professional development vids on it, so I could bone up on how to promote myself at the conference. Once the plane leveled out and the seatbelt sign went off, I contorted to retrieve my cell and earbuds from a pocket. Mr. Sweaty, on my left, relaxed, which involved lifting up the center armrest so he could spill a bit further onto my seat. Miss Window Woman, on the other side, took the opportunity to cough a few times into her hands, then used one of them to duplicate Mr. Sweaty's maneuver and pulled up her center armrest as well. Like a seed being squeezed out of a date before it was eaten, I was forced forward even more to accommodate the extra volume. Miss Window guiltily fished a cold and flu pill from her purse when she thought no one was looking, and dry swallowed the thing, coughing in the process. I had just managed to get set up to watch 5 simple steps to build a successful personal brand when the person in the row in front of me put their seat back, banging my head, and the 8-year-old in the row behind, excited to be on the way at last and already bored out of their mind, began kicking the back of my seat. There were 4 hours and 45 minutes left in the flight. But nothing ventured, nothing gained, I reminded myself. The conference would be worth it. At least, that's what Cousin Vortex claimed. He goes every year, and is always in the top 20 on Hero on the Way, with a 4.7 rating, 5,000 followers, and lots of opportunities to bid on interesting gigs. Things got worse. Good afternoon. The cabin speaker above Mr. Sweaty crackled to life. His snoring faltered, then thankfully stopped. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to thank you for flying with Good Flight. We get you there at great rates. I'm sorry to announce that due to unstable weather conditions over our destination, we are being redirected to Del Norte International Airport. Once the weather has improved, we will be on our way again. As a way of thanking you for your patience, Good Flight will be offering free water to our economy class guests. Wow, something free! How could I resist? I asked for 3 500-milliliter bottles. The plane landed rather roughly, with my bladder at 50%, at which point my eyes were watering. No, it wasn't because I had to go. Miss Window Woman had applied additional cheap-smelling perfume after she had begun to sweat when we hit turbulence in the descent. I appreciated the intent, but really, even superheroes have allergies. Instead of taxiing to the terminal, the plane parked on an apron just off the main runway, then shut down.
We'll be waiting here until Captain Gomez is given the clearance to proceed. Just a reminder, you can find our cash menu in the seat pocket in front of you. Tips are appreciated.
The head flight attendant announced over the staticky PA system as one of her colleagues began to draw a curtain across the aisle behind row 4 and another pulled out champagne for first class. I ordered more free water when the steward came by. With the AC off, the cabin started to heat up. At first, it was nice, like sitting by a fire on a cold day. But both my two traveling companions responded by somehow managing to expand even further into my space with sweaty efficiency. The 8-year-old kid behind me began to complain.
It's getting too hot.
And,
aren't we there yet?
On repeat. His foot thumps on the back of my seat kept pace with his increasingly intense mantra. I responded by drinking more water. It felt cool and comforting as it made its way through my digestive system to my bladder, which didn't take very long. After another hour or so, even I was starting to sweat, and my bladder, now almost full of tasteless airplane water, was beginning to complain to my brain. Sweaty man, who had been drinking overpriced beer, was smiling and laughing to himself. He was reading the tattered in-flight magazine and was on his third or fourth pass-through. Man, I have never witnessed so much liquid go in and nothing come out. Well, that's not technically true. There were dark stains all over his blue and pink Hawaiian shirt, with an especially large one pooling above his rather large midriff. At that point, I was thankful I had sprung the extra for the P5000 Nylon Lycra Kevlar blend in my superhero suit. It sucked up the sweat invading from both sides, promoting the stuff's evaporation despite the heat. Liquid tends to go through me in a more direct manner. I was thinking about these differences in metabolism when the PA startled me and everyone else.
Thank you for being patient. We are still waiting for the weather to clear at our destination,
the crew member explained.
In anticipation of a short notice for departure, the captain has requested refueling. In order to avoid logistical complications, passengers will remain aboard the plane. Thank you again for your understanding.
There were groans from the fifth row back. Up front in premium class, I heard someone ask for another Chardonnay and ice. Another hour passed, during which the interior temperature topped 42 degrees Celsius, according to my multifunction superwatch. The thing really is quite cool. It was a graduation gift from my parents. I began wishing Cousin Vortex would show up and whisk the entire plane away on one of his instant weather anomalies. I also consumed the rest of my water, not considering the consequences, until my bladder informed my brain of its evolving and quite urgent situation. Excuse me, sir. I gotta go. I informed Mr. Sweaty, who glared at me, then extricated himself from his and half of my seat. Once I had managed to maneuver into the aisle, he wedged back into the economy-sized space, oozed partway into the aisle and across my center seat until he was stopped by Miss Window's meaty arm at the halfway mark. I looked to the back of the plane, where a dozen or so wilted-looking people were standing in line for the lone washroom. The light above it was a stubborn red. A quick calculation told me I wouldn't be able to hold it that long, and turned to go forward, but was quickly intercepted by a surly-looking, immaculately dressed steward. I mean, there wasn't a drop of sweat on this guy. Not even a hint. It was 40 degrees in the cabin. It was like they had AC up there or something. I tried to edge past him to the washroom at the front, its light glowing a reassuring, beckoning shade of green. I'm sorry, sir, but you need to use the facilities at the rear of the plane. The front is for premium class only. He informed me in a polite way with a distinct undertone of, don't even try it. But, I stuttered in dismay. There's only 4 rows up there, and I pointed to the 21 behind me, noticing another half dozen people had joined the line. That's ridiculous. 1 washroom for 120? I retorted loud enough for rows 1 to 10 to hear. Heads were nodding in rows 5 to 10. 1 to 4 looked offensive. 126. The steward corrected, somehow looming larger. How did he do that? Was that some kind of psychological superpower? I'm going to go, I insisted in my best superhero baritone. Sir, you're getting unreasonable. Susan, I may need help here, he shouted over his shoulder. A frightened-looking flight attendant disappeared into the cockpit. I really, really got to go, I pointed out. But the steward dug in, gripping the seatbacks on both sides of the aisle with gym-toned arms. He nodded sternly at the back. Passengers around me started taking out their phones to record the anticipated altercation. Now desperate, I looked around, spotted an unopened bottle in a kid's lap in 5C, and went for it. Thinking I was going to use it as an improvised missile, the steward threw up his hands in defense. But before he could guess my true purpose, I ripped off the screw top and guzzled as fast as I could. My poor bladder must have instantly hit 140% or more. Wow, I had never gone this far before, and I had never needed a washroom so badly. Time came to an abrupt and definitive halt. First, I attended to my immediate needs, quickly crawling past the intransient steward to the front of the plane. By the time I had finished, nothing had moved. Not even the cough droplets in the air around one of the premium class passengers headed on their infectious way to their next privileged victim. Man, I had really, really done a number on the flow of time. Taking advantage of the newly discovered extent of my powers, I cracked open the front door, or hatch, or whatever it's called on a plane, jumped down, found a movable stairway, then proceeded to evacuate everyone in economy. As I got to the last passenger, time had begun to recover. There was a woman in 25E who had managed to pull out her phone and shoot a couple of snaps of my handiwork. 5 minutes later, while standing on the tarmac outside the plane, she posted them to Instagram, where they immediately went viral. How would I know that, you might ask? Well, taking the advice on the vid I had been watching, I had downloaded one of those social media listening apps PR professionals are so sweet on. Man, my cell began pinging like crazy. You can't buy that kind of brand awareness. There was even a photo where my logo on the front of my spandex Kevlar suit was visible. I must admit, since seeing those posts, I have gone on a diet. I wanted to thank the young lady, but I was distracted by airport security before I could. My fellow passengers booed as they took me away in handcuffs, and the pilot explained loudly to an angry airline rep Why, it wasn't his fault the company was being charged for disembarking fees. While sitting in security, I managed to use voice commands to get my phone to call Sis and beg for another favor. She reluctantly teleported me to the conference so I could see Mom get her award. If she had simply done that in the first place... I hate family politics. Later, I overheard her and my parents talking about how I needed to learn to stand on my own. It made me mad. I've been standing up on my own since I was one. By the way, I've been banned from Good Flight Airlines, and their civil suit to recover the disembarking fees doesn't look like it's going anywhere. Thank goodness for Hero on the Way's legal team, although they are taking an extra 5% for the next 2 years to cover the court costs. On the upside, I'd like to confirm that social media is an important element of superhero brand building. For about 90 minutes after the airplane incident, my brand was actually trending in the top 10, and I got a bid request through the Hero on the Way app from several passengers trapped on a delayed flight at the Charles de Gaulle Airport. One of them had seen my Instagram photos. I bid high. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, please log in to give me 5 stars. The first 10 people who do will win a t-shirt. Once I have the money to print them. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. This episode of Makeshift Stories is brought to you by ATB. Creative minds need creative banking. That's why ATB created the branch of arts and culture, a branch that understands artists don't live by the rules of standard pay schedules. So you can be creative and not have to worry about your checking account. It's a creative space for creative professionals, and just one more way ATB will always be more than a bank. Visit atb.com/thebranch to find out how ATB's branch for arts and culture can support your career in the arts. To listen to other great APN award-winning podcasts, such as It's a Conspiracy, where co-hosts Andrew, Charlie, and Greg lay out the beliefs behind selected conspiracy theories, alternative accounts, legends, myths, and more, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. The Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, is happy to be partnering with Seat Giant to offer you a deal on tickets to major sporting events, big concerts, popular theater throughout North America, and more. Whether you're at home or on vacation, check Seat Giant for tickets to the hottest theater, music, and sports events at seatgiant.ca. Use the promo code APN at checkout to get 5% off your purchase. You'll save a bit and help support the network as well. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David Hume. To find out more about David, head over to davidhume.me. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.